All right, we are back on and recording.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Walston. We are back on the record after a brief break with the Silverview Apartments appeal. Ms. Clinton, before I forget, a quick question. On the Silverdale design guidelines, I can of course take official notice, and they are online, but I don't think they're in the record. So I'm just wondering if you could forward those to Ms. Walston, just to make sure I'm looking at the correct ones.
I believe the Silverdale design standards are Exhibit 16.
Oh, okay, of DCD or?
Appellant.
Appellant, I'm sorry, 16, okay.
Let me double check that.
Yeah, no, that's you are correct, they are.
So we can admit those.
Yeah, let's go ahead and admit those if they were. Yeah, I don't think they were admitted. So let's go ahead and make sure those are in. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think at this point, then we're going to move to cross examination. Is there any cross examination of Mr. Adams?
Yes, I have a few questions. Thank you. Okay. Mr. Adams, when we concluded your testimony, you stated that the applicant's property was going to impact the views of the entire waterfront district. The properties that are north of the applicant's property include the Maynard's Restaurant, the Social Security Administration, and a LASIK surgery center. When you stated that, were you speaking for Maynard's only, or were you speaking for those other two properties?
I was speaking for Maynard's in particular, but you'll find that a good portion of the waterfront district is to the north and east of the site. So that would include locations on the other side of Buckland Hill Road as well. So you have a huge swath of the view corridor that leads from the north and east of the entire waterfront district. That view corridor crosses the site. There are obviously some individual sites that would still enjoy views. For example, the Krista Shores project is not impacted by this site is one particular notable example. And I would assume the LASIK surgery building also doesn't necessarily have views impacted of Dyes Inlet, although they have landscape views impacted the other direction to the south and east.
And when you did your site, those two pieces of property are currently separated by, it looks like some trees right now. Is that what you observed as well?
Which two pieces of property?
The Social Security Administration and this parcel and the LASIK Surgery Center in this parcel.
Didn't take particular note of it, but yes, I believe you're correct, especially with the LASIK Surgery Center. I do remember some trees around that building.
And so the primary property that you were talking about was the Maynard's. That's where you took the photo from?
And that is where I took the photo from, but the point I'm trying to make is there are many properties that are uphill across Buckland Hill Road to the north and east of this subject parcel that would potentially have their views impacted by this project.
How do you know that? Did you go over there and look at them?
Yes.
Okay, and you don't have any renderings for that though. Which ones did you look at?
No. I walked along Buckland Hill Road walked up towards, I believe there are office condominium buildings across the street, up that street as well. I drove through several of the other streets to the northwest, and you can clearly see that the ground plane is sloping down towards the water, and the view orientation is down towards the water, as stated in the Silverdale design standards.
And so they are like the shopping center that had like the traffic supply and the trampoline park that's across the street is, and then there's apartment complexes across the street. I'm just trying to get an idea of, because from the photograph, it looked like that Maynard's was looking out almost over the top of some of the buildings. And so I'm just trying to understand what particular property that you're talking about.
I stood specifically on the Maynard's property. I stood specifically on the sidewalks along Buckland Hill Road that are directly to the north of the subject parcel. And you can tell that four-story structures along that very long, wide southern border of the zone will impact views of those parcels. And I should say from the right-of-way too, that if people, members of the public are enjoying views of the waterfront from the right-of-way, those views would be impacted as well.
Okay. And so you also were, at the beginning of your testimony, sort of, you were looking at the zoning map and you were sort of starting at where this property is, and you were talking about the particular zone and how it being essentially too deep, two parcels deep, or extending this far below was inconsistent with how it was in the rest of the zone. Do you recall that portion of your testimony?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
And if it is convenient for you to maybe help your recollection, you can, I certainly don't have a problem with pulling up the map that you were looking at earlier. Otherwise, I can ask you about it if you think you remember it off the top of your head.
Just give me a moment, please. I will pull it up. Is this the map you're referring to?
It's still black. It looks like it's sheer. That's exactly the one I'm talking about. And that's a great view. Thank you. So when you were testifying earlier, you were pointing out how the parcel that this hearing is about is surrounded on the south, the east, and the west by this UR zone. And can you say what that UR zone is?
It is... I want to just get the words correctly. It is the urban restricted zone.
And what is the urban restricted zone, this blue zone that you talked about?
It is a lower density zone. I don't want to run through the code, obviously, but if we have the there isn't a legend on the zoning map, but it is a reduced density zone that is clearly oriented towards having single family residential structures or at least far less number of dwelling units per acre than other zones.
And what do you mean by other zones? Which ones?
Other residential or higher density multifamily zones that are better suited for multifamily development.
And so you were testifying that this particular parcel being basically the second in line off of Buckland Hill is unusual for the RC zone. And so what is the RC zone?
That's not what I meant to say. What I was trying to convey is that zoning transitions often happen at street center lines, or maybe perhaps one parcel deep past a street center line.
So, I'm sorry. So, are you saying that the RC zone does have parcels that are certainly too deep off of Buckland Hill Road?
And no, that's, I'm not trying to link anything I said specifically to the RC zone. What I'm trying to say is typical zoning patterns tend to try to create zone transitions at street center lines or perhaps one parcel deep past street center lines that it's undesirable to have zone transitions that happen, two parcels deep, if you will, past, where the ideal zone transition happens, which is, usually along street edges.
And so, but the zone that this property is in, it extends further south, further west, and further east than this particular property, correct?
The Krista Shores, if you're referring to the Krista Shores lot, that geographically extends further south, but that's just a single parcel. It's a bit of an unusual. Then across the inlet, because of the geography, the zone does wrap around the inlet.
And you testified earlier that you were aware of the history behind the zoning with regard to this project, or you weren't?
I've only heard people discuss it. I'm not gonna say I understand. I have particular knowledge of the history of the zoning of this area.
Okay. So, were you aware that the Growth Hearings Board has approved this particular zoning?
I'm not aware of that, but I assume that the zoning map is accurate. I'm not disputing that the zoning is what the zoning shown on this on the map.
And aside from your opinion about the transition, there was nothing about the proposal that isn't consistent with the density or anything like that in the zone.
That's correct.
I don't have any further questions. Okay.
I have one question, just follow up. Mr. Adams, you keep referring to the view corridor. Is that listed in the design standards at all?
There is no specific view corridor that we might see protected in some other design standards. However, design standards do discuss that views to the water are a defining feature of this waterfront district.
Okay.
And I'm sure I did have one little follow-up question, and it was just more of a clarification about when you were testifying earlier. I recall when you were talking about landscaping, you were looking at a particular exhibit. And I just wanted, I didn't write down the exhibit number. Do you have that handy? I got from your testimony, you like to, look at the
DCD
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
There we go. Ms. Clunchan, any redirect?
Not at this time, no.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Adams, for your testimony today. You are dismissed for right now. Ms. Clunchan, I didn't know if you or Mr. Bricklin were going to, I believe there you had one or I think two more witnesses.
So quickly, we have, let's see here. Gonna be a quick lay witness for Maynard Melland.
Okay. Do we have Mr. Melland online?
Okay, you should be able to unmute Mr. Melland and turn on your camera.
Hello.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Melland. Can you state your name for the record?
Maynard Melland.
And you swear to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
Yes.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Melland, could you describe your connection to this project and how it will impact your property?
When this was first brought to my attention, the two property owners, we met with them at the county. They were kind of piggybacking on our project. And they were saying that they wanted to make sure that they worked together with us and adjoining properties to make sure there was minimal impact on the waterfront district. After that, we didn't hear much of them from them other than disputing our what we were doing to build our property, which slowed our progress down. Fast forwarding, I don't know exact timeline, 6 months ago, 5 months ago, we received notice that it was approved, even though we hadn't heard anything about it in over a year about the project. Then seeing the blueprints and the design, it was obvious that they're not trying to work with us or any other surrounding residential or business, blocking all the views, the lack of parking, the lack of green space. Honestly, I don't know how it was approved, going just based off of what I personally had to do to get our building approved. You know, if we want to talk about green space, we were required to put in 4,995 plants on 2.7 acres, 73 trees, about a quarter acre of green space. So the fact that I was made to do that, to fit into county designs, and looking at the plans, there's nothing like that in the apartment plans, no green space. There's lack of parking. There's not enough parking spots. The 80 bus passes, it's a nice gesture, but they won't be used. It's, I mean, a handful of them maybe. Trying to, you know, navigate to the bus stop, which would be through Maynard's property. I guess, you know, you can, but we're such a rural area, using buses is not a good mode of transportation like it would be in Tacoma or Seattle. As far as the view, yeah, I mean, we have a 3,000 square foot deck and patio that can seat 200 people. When we built it, we built it with the plans of having a view water of the view, excuse me, view of the water, even if it was through the apartments, or if they were, the plan was for the apartments to have the building spaced or directed so that it wouldn't have such an impact on not just my business, but there's the north of us, there's three businesses in a parking lot across from us. There's another business to the east of that, right next to our property on the east side. There's another residential home that I know that the gentleman at one point recently was trying to sell that, and obviously with not having any view would impact the well, his view now, but also if he was future plans of selling it, property value. If you go north and east, there's a property that is for sale with a view property, and that would obviously not be a view property anymore and would definitely hurt the sale of that property. Speaking of cross, go ahead.
So just to clarify, so you own the property immediately northeast of the project site, correct?
North of it.
Oh, yeah. So north, the north project. Okay. And south of Buckland Hill Road.
Correct.
Okay.
So I know someone else was asking, there's two different apartment complexes that this would impact their view. One of the apartment complexes is called Inlet View Apartments. It would no longer have Inlet View. And then the other apartment, Crosspoint, anybody that does have a view would lose that from there also. You know, we already have a problem with people vandalizing, or, you know, younger people, you know, sneaking around at night, you know, trying to break into things, skateboarding on our deck and patio area. This would only, you know, further that tenfold. I mean, having 100 and I don't know the exact number, 100 and whatever homes. And from what I understand, they're going to be transitional homes for people that are maybe moving in military wise or whatnot, without ties to the community, so to speak.
So you mentioned before about there being parking issues. Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I mean, we already have parking issues. So Social Security, when they're open, when pre-COVID, already had to park, all the employees parked in our parking lot. We had an agreement with them that was, that's fine during the day, Monday through Friday, 8 to 4. And we've had a great relationship with them in that sense. With the lack of parking and the lack of visitor parking that are in the apartment complexes, and then the two connections that connect my property to the apartments, it's only going to be natural that we are going to be overflow parking, affecting my business, affecting our guests. And then if I were to tow them, that's going to impact my business further, because I, as the business owner, am towing residents' cars away out of my parking lot. So trying to police that, trying to, you know, on a daily basis between the parking impact, the you know, then I have liability of people crossing my parking lot. I mean, you have 160 homes or whatever it is. You're going to have kids, you're going to have people, you're going to have everyone walking through my property to the street to get to Buckland Hill, to get to the stores, to get to the bus stop, to get to the banks, whatever they're trying to get to locally. So now that liability is on me also. So this, you know, they it says in their application that they have worked with surrounding businesses and homes, and it's, they didn't. They never have. Also it says in the documents that will this impact anyone's views, anybody's views? And it says no. And I think it's clearly evident that it is going to impact views, not just for me, but for other homes, apartments, businesses. Is there anything else you'd like me to touch on regarding parking or views or?
I guess I would just ask, you know, is the waterfront view, is it a feature of your dining experience for your business? You know, what is the impact of that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. People purposely, whenever it's, even if it's a little bit chilly outside, people will go sit on the deck to enjoy the views. Enjoying looking at an apartment, it's not going to be the same. I mean, sure, we'll probably have people that will dine outside, but it will not be a feature. We will lose that part, that aspect of our business. And in the restaurant business, it's very important. There's businesses that is their identity. For example, if you went to like Salty's in Seattle, right? If you were to take that away from them, that would hurt their business significantly. So yes, it'll have a huge impact on our business.
Mm-hmm. And are you aware whether or not this apartment building meets the parking requirements for the number of spaces per units?
From what I understand, with the way the wetlands are set now, it has to do with the parking. And, you know, I'm not going to pretend to know all about that. But, you know, having the limited amount of parking that they do have is not enough for that many complexes, that many apartments. They will need more parking. And then the fact that the parking is not underground, the visual appeal of it, there's, I mean, it's just going to be a sea of parking and buildings. It's going to disrupt the downtown waterfront area. And the other thing I want to talk about really quickly too is we're in litigation with the owners of that property regarding an easement that's on the east side of that property. The easement expired. Somehow they convinced the county to extend it, or I don't understand how that worked. So obviously at that point, we tried to speak with the owners. They were unwilling to really cooperate. So we are currently in litigation with them. And our lawyer that's working on it, Mr. Kruger, he emailed the gentleman a month or half, 2 months ago, asking if they were still intending on using the easement, and they stated yes. Both lawyers have that documentation showing that they are planning on using it. I know it's not in the plans, but there is documentation showing that they are planning on using that easement, even though that easement is under litigation. So.
Okay. And you mentioned there were other apartment buildings nearby that whose views are going to be impacted. Roughly, yes. What are the locations of those?
They're just north of Buckland Hill. So if you were to look up Inlet View Apartments, named because they're Inlet View, and then some of the apartments that are on the south side of the Cross Point apartment complexes, so be still north of Buckland Hill, they're going to have impacts. And then, you know, Morgan and Stanley, who's to the east side of them, there's a lot of business and a lot of homes that are going to be impacted. It's not just just us. And I know there was a comment made about Social Security and the eye care clinic. Right now they do not have a view of the water, but they do have nice trees that are surrounding the property. Those trees will be cut down, and there will be 40-foot tall apartment buildings feet away from their property. So, yeah, they may not have a view at the moment. If those trees were not there, they would. But I would assume that they would like to look at trees versus somebody's porch or 50 people's porches. And they're going to have a parking impact also. And that's only going to flow over, you know, over back to us again on our east side of our lot.
And apart from Krista Shores, most of the apartment buildings in this district, they're north of Buckland Hill Road, correct? Was that accurate?
Correct.
Okay. Do you know, other than Krista Shores, do you know of any multifamily apartment buildings south of Buckland Hill Road?
No.
And so between Mickleberry, Buckland Hill, and Tracyton?
There's no apartments, no. There's no apartments that are around the waterfront in this in the area of Silverdale. Okay. They're all on the opposite side of adjoining streets. If it's Silverdale Way, or if it's Buckland Hill.
Okay. No further questions.
I don't have any questions, thanks.
Ms. Zippel?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, and now I think I'm gonna turn it over to Dave for Ms. Sullivan.
Yes. So, Ms. Ralston, if you could bring in Ms. O'Sullivan now.
Okay, Ms. O'Sullivan, you should be able to unmute and turn your camera on now.
Hello.
Good morning. I think you'll have the oath administered first and then we'll get going.
You're muted, Ms. Drummond.
Ms. O'Sullivan, if you could state your name again for the record.
Allison O'Sullivan.
Thank you. And you swear to tell the truth under penalty of perjury to the laws of the state of Washington?
I do.
Thank you.
Great. Good morning, Ms. O'Sullivan. What's your professional background and your current employment?
My background is I have worked 7 years in private consulting, doing wetland and stream delineations, mitigation reports, etc. And I am currently employed by the Suquamish tribe as a senior biologist, and I have worked for the tribe for 19 years. My primary duties are reviewing permit applications for protection of tribal treaty rights and natural resources.
All right. And you have a lot of experience then with Kitsap County land use regulations?
I have worked with Kitsap County for my entire career, yes.
All right. A little bit off of what we were planning to talk about, but the prior witness was asked about the urban restricted zone and the purpose of that zone. Do you happen to have handy the code description of the purpose of that zone?
I do. One moment. Let's see here. It is 17.180.010, and it says the urban restricted zone is applied to areas within the urban growth area that have been identified with a significant concentration of critical areas.
All right, thank you. And then it goes on. All right, thank you. So tell the examiner a little bit about your familiarity with the subject property here.
I got the notice of application and I have some knowledge of that area prior to a lot of the development that has occurred on Buckland Hill. And I knew that I had some concerns regarding wetlands. So I contacted the county and informed them that I thought it would be a good idea for us to meet out there. And since Department of Ecology is the regulatory authority on wetlands, that they should be included as well.
All right. And so did you have an opportunity to actually then visit the site and for that purpose?
I did. And yes, there were wetlands present despite what the original report had determined.
All right. And did you provide the county with a email that described a summary of your observations there?
I don't recall providing them an email description. Since Ecology was present on the site, I was deferring to Ecology, but we did have a lot of discussion verbally.
All right. I'm going to share my screen and
bring up an email. You may not remember. It was directed primarily to the applicant, but you copied the county on it. So they ended up seeing it too. And it was in their files. Give me a second here to share a screen.
And our definition of site visit summary may be a little bit different.
Yeah, and yeah, this was not a formal you know, report. It was just an email description of what you saw. So let me bring this up and see if you recognize this. Let me know when you can see it. Can you see it now?
Yes, I do.
All right. So do you, and Madam Examiner, this is part of our Exhibit 11, mm-hmm. which are a couple of tribal emails.
And that was before our site visit. Okay. That was outlining concerns that I had after reading the materials that I had been provided.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that clarification. All right. So So this is the top email in this string is from you to Mr. Caldwell, who's the owner, I believe, of the project and several folks in the county, and a copy to Ms. Hennessy over at Ecology, dated May 2, 2018. And so as you were just explaining, this was based just on a review of the written materials. And there you said, halfway down the first page, outstanding concerns I have are primarily wetland related, as discussed in my previously submitted comments. So apparently this was the second go round on this. Would you read that paragraph one there?
Yes, hang on, let me get my little people out of the way. It says, outstanding concerns I have are primarily wetland related, as discussed in my previously submitted comments. The consultant noted wetland vegetation and hydrology, but not wetland soils, so therefore made the determination that it is not wetland. However, this area was historically used for agriculture, and there was recent tree slash brush removal, so the top layer of soil has been disturbed, and there has been water diversion, curtain drains, as per the hydrologic evaluation. I would not consider these conditions normal. The soil below plow depth should be examined. According to the geotech borings, there are hydric indicators and could actually be wetland.
All right. So this was at a point in time when the applicant's consultant said there's zero wetlands there, and you were questioning that. So then subsequent to that, you actually then did participate in a site visit with Ecology, the county, and the applicant?
Correct.
All right. And what were your observations about the wetlands at that time?
It was as I had expected. Under normal conditions, you would look at the three wetland criteria, hydrology, plants, and soil. And if it was a normal condition, you would put probably a higher weight on soil because they are, in that particular instance, more definitive. But in an area that has been disturbed, you can't do that because the soils are not reflective of what you would call normal conditions. So then you defer usually more highly to hydrology and then secondly to wetland vegetation.
All right. And so what did you observe when you were on site in terms of whether you agreed with their initial assessment that there were no wetlands there?
I did not agree.
All right. And to kind of move through this quickly, we've already had testimony from Dr. Cook that the applicant then did a new delineation and concluded there were several hundred square feet, you know, like 10 by 10 or something, 10 by 20 square feet of wetlands. Ecology concluded there were something in around 3,500 square feet, and Dr. Cook around 7,000 square feet. From your personal observations there, where do you believe the applicant's several hundred square feet delineation was it more accurate of those three?
No, I would say Department of Ecology and Dr. Cook were more accurate.
All right. And what did you see out there that led you to that conclusion?
We observed a fairly large area that had wetland vegetation and hydrology.
All right. All right. Let me share my screen again with a different item here. One second. All right, this should be the county's revised determination of non-significance. Tell me when you see that.
I see it.
All right. And I apologize, I don't have the exhibit number, Madam Examiner.
I have it, so I know. Yeah.
Oh, and before I forget about exhibits, could we go back and I'd like to offer the admission of that email, which is a part of our exhibit 11.
Yeah, so any objection to admission of appellants 11? Hearing none, it is exhibit 11 is admitted.
Thank you. So in this revised mitigated determination of non-significance, I'm scrolling down and at the bottom of the first page, a section begins wetland mitigation. And I'll read that as I continue scrolling. Due to site constraints, impacts to an on-site category 4 wetland is unavoidable. Functions and values of the wetlands will be replaced on the adjacent Kitsap Mental Health property using a restoration protocol coordinated with Soundview consultants, Suquamish Tribe, that's your entity, correct?
Correct.
The Washington State Department of Fish and Wildlife and the staff from Washington Department of Ecology Wetland Division. Were you consulted regarding any wetland mitigation for this project?
No, I have no recollection of any coordination regarding mitigation for the impact on site.
And are you the person at the tribe who would be the point person for any such conversation?
Yes, I would.
All right. Let me just check. That might be everything I have for you, Ms. Sullivan. All right, that's all I have for this witness. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any cross-examination?
I do have some, but I'm having trouble with my screen. Okay, wait, there it is. Sorry. And Ms. O'Sullivan, the tribe did not, they're not appealing the determinations, that's correct?
Due to staff constraints and lack of time, no.
And how many site visits did you do on the property?
I believe 2. As stated in Ms. Hennessy's summary, but I don't recall if there was more than that or not. It's 2 years ago. Sometimes I'll swing by a site if I'm on my way home from a meeting or something to check something or not, but.
And you were a part of the site visit that where a lot of wetlands experts did the site visit. You were a part of that group?
The first one or the second one? I believe I was part of the first one when Diane did the delineation. I was not present.
Okay. So who all was present on the first one and when did that happen?
It was May, well, the first one was, I believe, like May 7th-ish. And then I believe the second one was May 21st. And May 21st was when we were meeting with the county ecology, Soundview staff, and we're looking at all the soil pit and vegetation and hydrology.
So you said you were at the first one, but not at the second one, or did I get that flipped?
I was not at the second one that ecology came out to, which is, I believe, when they did the delineation.
And so who was at the first one, the early part?
I believe it was at least myself and the county. I don't remember who else.
Okay.
Probably Soundview.
Okay. I don't have any other questions.
Ms. Zippel, do you have anything?
Just to clarify one point, I believe you said you requested Department of Ecology to come to the site. Is that correct?
Yes, I did.
Okay, thanks.
That's all. Okay. Any further redirect? Any redirect?
No.
Okay. All right. Thank you for your testimony. I think that's all for right now. Is there any further witnesses, Ms. Brickland, Ms. Clungeon?
I think Ms. Clungeon has one more and very brief one, and then we're done.
Dory Salem.
Can we get Ms. Salem up?
All right, you should be able to unmute and set your camera on. There we go. Connecting. All right. A little bit shadowy, but there we go. I can see you.
Ms. Salem, good morning. If you could state your name for the record.
My name is Dory Salem. And
and you swear to tell the truth.
My name is Dory
Salem. Thank you. You swear to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay. Good afternoon, Ms. Salem. So can you tell us where your property is in relation to this project?
Yes, my property is located on the southeast corner, and it is by the dog park area.
So it is directly adjacent to the site?
Yes, very close.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so do you have there was testimony earlier about a well being present on your property. Are you aware of a well on your property?
Yes, we have a well, and that's our primary water supply. We use it all the time. So
that is for your drinking water?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there is, can you describe your home on the property?
Yes, it's a double wide mobile home that's on cinder blocks. And like I said, it will be right next to the dog park area.
Okay, and that's the dog park that's gonna be in the southeast corner.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And what are your concerns about that dog park?
Well, the dog park, my concerns are they really don't know. I don't know what kind of fence they're going to put up, if it's just going to be a chain link fence, or is it going to be like a big high cement curtain that we can't see, and maybe cut down some noise. I'm concerned about the waste of the animals going into the well, seeping into the well, and the smell and the safety. If it's a smaller fence, dogs might come over, jump over. The barking, usually people are out real early in the morning to take their dogs outside. And possible lots of noise going on And then late in the evenings, people walk their dogs again. I don't know if dog parks are, it's outside, so I don't know if people are able to smoke. And both my mom and I have lung problems. And just the smell of cigarettes out there would harm our health.
Okay, and you you mentioned concern about the waste from the dog park. Have you experienced any stormwater issues on your property?
The last few years we've had I've had it for 36 years, and just the last few years we've been getting some drainage, some water coming into our property, especially along the mobile home, and then we have a garage, and it goes all the way around the garage, along that border down towards the best property. And then on the east side, we had to put in a curtain drain because it was coming in from the very corner, the southeastern corner. The water was coming through. We had to get a curtain drain because we don't want the mobile home to be washed out with the cinder blocks. Doesn't have a permanent foundation.
Okay. And for your well, do you know if that, what the depth of that well, or if it's an artesian well?
I do not know. I found out it was put up in 1978, but I have not found the log to tell us how deep it is.
Okay. And will the project impact the light or any views from your property?
Surely the lights, because right now there isn't any lights. So my mom's bedroom is back there on that side, and then mine is on the other. So we would have lights if they leave them on all night. We'll be able to see them from our place. And also the people living in the apartments, since they're higher, will probably lose some of our privacy because we're out in the garden all the time. And I'm sure a lot of people can, you know, be watching us and stuff like that. So, you know, just having an elderly mom there and myself, you know, just security concerns and stuff. So that bothers us.
Okay.
Because right now people are walking through our property to do shortcuts to go to Traceton. And, you know, there's not very many people now. I can't imagine when there's a whole bunch of people, you know, going out for walks and cutting through and trying to get to Traceton through our property.
Okay, great. Thank you. No further questions.
Oh, can I have some other, so it's the well and then the dog park and also the traffic on Traceton is a big concern to me because we have a hard time getting onto Traceton now that it's kind of pretty dangerous to navigate that part of the road. So
okay,
I think that's a big concern. Okay. And also, it's just, it's kind of not respectful because the environment, you know, this is really disturbing the nature's waterways and the wildlife and plants. And once we destroy them, you know, we can't rebuild them. And I think it would cause a lot of environmental damage. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Salem. Is there any cross-examination?
No, thank you, Ms. Salem.
Okay, Ms. Zippel, the same?
Yeah, no questions.
Oh, okay, thank you for your testimony, Ms. Salem. I think you are done for right now. Ms. Clungeon, Mr. Bricklin, I think that was your last witness, wasn't she?
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right, so at this point we are 10 to noon. I'm wondering if now might be a good time to break for lunch, and then the appellants and county can commence their case with their witnesses. What are the parties' views on that?
Makes sense.
Okay.
Makes sense to me.
Okay. So 11:50 an hour, is that about right? Or we do shorter? No, okay, 11:50, so it's 11:50, so we'll reconvene at 12:50, 10 to 1. Mr. Brooklyn, you had asked about exhibits. Do you want to address that now, actually? Or we could do it right after lunch.
Is that with you or Mr. Ralston, who we should just review exhibits, make sure we have the correct listing of what's been admitted?
Probably with me for that.
That's fine. So my understanding is all of the county and applicant exhibits are in. So the only issue is ours. Mm-hmm. And currently on my list, I'm showing 1 through 9.
Yep.
11.
Yep.
Several sets of photos from 13.
Correct.
16.
Yes.
28 and 32.
28 and then 32. I don't think there was a formal omission on the Cook photos, but I assume there's no objection on that. Dr. Cook did go through those. Is that correct?
No objection on the Cook photos.
Yeah, so 32 is admitted. Yeah.
All right. And then did I omit any that have been admitted?
No, I don't have any additional.
All right. And so we'll try to get back to you, as I said earlier, and go through the other exhibits we had listed as potential and let you know whether we're seeking admission of any of those.
Okay.
I'll try to do that by the end of the lunch hour, so we can start with that. And then on the illustratives, there's the videos, great. Number one, Mr. Adams' images were number two. And I'm not sure if there was a number three on the illustratives.
I don't have a three. Did I miss
something? Just two. All right. That's what I thought.
That's what I have.
All right.
I believe there was a three.
There were two visuals within. I mean, it's 2A and 2B. So.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. And then also just for the previous discussions, when we were talking about the Kitsap County Stormwater Design Manual, do you want that as an exhibit, or because that's readily available?
Readily available and it's pretty lengthy.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
I don't need it as an exhibit because I can take official notice.
Okay.
But if there are certain pages that you want, that the appellants wanted to have in the record, that's fine, just to make it, you know, to make it easier. But yes, you're right. It is online, and we definitely don't need the whole thing, I think, in the record, but it's up to you all. Certainly, it's certainly a document, you know, it's the legal documents adopted by the county. So any other questions before we break?
I'm assuming we're treating the comprehensive plan for the same way as the stormwater design manual, because it's been referenced several times.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's online as well. And I've had no issues with accessing that. So just like treat it just like the Kitsap County code. So, yeah. Any other questions? Okay, 11:54 now. So how about 12:54? That gives you exactly an hour. So we'll reconvene in an hour. Thank you all. We're adjourned for lunch.